Ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. And when it's Monday, you know what time it is. It's time for some Browner. It's time for some Lawhead. Coming to you on the Mightier 1090, available also via YouTube under Kaplan and Crew, and available at the iTunes podcast store under Kaplan and Crew as well. We had an insane weekend as far as football goes. We had some basketball action too, which we'll save that for later in the week. As you guys know, Browner and Lawhead is available Monday through Wednesday, three times a week. Your hour of fun and sports conversation. Jason, the weekend was upside down. We've got so much to talk about. How was your weekend, man?
It was great, man. I got to tell you, I went Saturday night. I went down and popped down to San Diego to some of the clubs and did some guest spots. And first time to the new Laugh Factory down in the Gas Lamp. And
what a
beautiful club. Yeah, what a beautiful club right there. And it's just, you know, I shot over to the American Comedy Company and did a spot. But yeah, that's newly opened and it's beautiful. The staff's awesome. You know, so I can't wait to go back. And everybody was great. Carrie, the manager, and just wanted to thank everybody. And if you haven't been down to check out the new Laugh Factory, the newest comedy club, I mean, San Diego's got a great comedy scene. So it was a great weekend for me until I woke up early enough to watch the Browns and Patriots. And boy, what a just gut punch. I mean, it's bad when CBS leaves coverage before the fourth quarter even starts to go to another game.
Let's start there. The Browns seem to make the news for reasons that are not more football related than they are more subject matter related. And last week, the Browns came out and played a fantastic game. But Browns have now fallen victim to what I think people always fall asleep to in the NFL. When you have a week where everybody's looking at you, you've made a transaction. You've got to prove the organization right. You've got to prove the coaching staff right. You guys have got to go out and perform. Most teams usually do. Whomever it is on the roster, they step up, the team succeeds. The following week is where the drop-off happens. And I didn't expect for them to be this bad against the Patriots. Mm-mm. But oh my God. I know Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are both out. I get that. I'm well aware. There's no excuse for that performance. This is the guy who people are saying that they should give $40 million a year to. This is the guy that you want taking up 12 to 15% of your cap. That guy. I don't think so. As a Browns fan, when you're watching Baker Mayfield come out and throw pick six in a game that they, by the way, should have won, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, this team, and especially Baker, is lost without Chubb. And what's sad is D'Ernest Johnson already proved that he could go and move chains. And they abandoned the run after the pick six, basically. It was basically a pick six. They got it down to the five and ran one play and got it in. But right. They abandoned the run. D'Ernest, in his first 10 carries, I think, was averaging over 7 yards a carry. And then I think he might have got 13 carries the whole game. And what was mind-boggling to me is that right then and there, at 14-7, you could just see how out-schemed, out-coached we were. Put Baker's play in one category, put the defense's play in another category.
Yeah.
It was evident in the beginning of that game when we came out for our second series, basically third series, pick six, touchdown, opening drive, scripted. Great. Belichick sees that. He's not going to let that happen again after taking pictures from the press box. They go down, get a nice opening drive as well. Then the pick six, we come out and punt on five plays. Because we're going to just throw the ball all over the place and abandon the run. You could just see right away, even at 14-7, I texted a buddy of mine. I'm like, dude, this thing is if we don't score on the very next possession, this is going to be a blowout. I literally said that. And you could just see it because you knew that the outs, you know, look, you were going up against a team at home that has been playing consistently better as the weeks go on, yes. especially their offense. Mac Jones and that New England offense is really finding its way, and game to game, they've only gotten better. And you had to come out with a scheme to say, we're a double tight end, even triple tight end stack up, and we're going to run Deaners between the boxes, and we're going to pick our spots on Jarvis on the slant, and maybe develop play action so we can maybe go long to Donovan Peoples-Jones. But it was too late. It was too late by the time it was – we got smacked in the face a few times. The run was abandoned. At one point, New England had run 26 rushing plays, and the Browns had run 28 total plays. And at that point, it was over.
I honestly think after watching the – Bill Belichick game plan against the same Browns defense that the Chicago Bears played, it literally just shows me coaching is far more important than a lot of people think. Because the way Bill Belichick put that game plan together, and this is what stuck out to me, and I want to see if you noticed this too. They took away the run. They decided that they weren't going to let them run. But what Bill Belichick also didn't do is have his secondary drop into zone coverage. They decided to cover the Browns physically, man-to-man, hard in the first 5 yards and bump and run as best they could after that. And that gave Baker a lot of problems because there were no windows to get into. And so I thought that that was something that literally more teams are going to do that going forward against them until the season ends. Because if you stop the run, I don't give a damn who they had at running back. Chubb. Well, Hunt, Henry, it doesn't matter.
But John, at halftime, we were down 24-7, and we were averaging 8.1 yards a carry on the ground and 1.8 yards per pass. So we had a chance. The defense came out and got a 3-and-out on New England at the kickoff, and then we went 3-and-out right back because we were forcing the football into places that Baker couldn't get because they were covering. And we abandoned the run at 14-7 right away. And once New England sniffed that out, the offense had no chance. I mean, because they just compounded everything. And before you knew it, it was 31-7 and the game was over.
Another thing that stuck out to me over the weekend, because we're going through, if you guys are just joining us, this is Brown and Lawhead, John Brown and Jason Lawhead on the Mightier 1090. Thanks for listening. Like, share, and comment on the YouTube and the iTunes podcast store. Another thing that stuck out to me over the weekend was not that Cam Newton came back with the Panthers, how effective Cam Newton was on the sideline, the Carolina Panthers. I don't know what they did the 2 days he was on the team, but they put in two plays and those two plays worked. So I thought Cam coming back was a huge not a feature, but somewhat of a bug in what's going to happen as we play out the NFC's playoff race, because a team under 500 is going to make the playoffs. The question is, who is that team going to be? Because I'm going to present a question to you, and I would like for you to tell me this. We know who's bad in the NFL. That we know. It's not up for debate. It's the Texans. It's the Texans. It's the Lions. And depending on who you ask, what day it is, it's the Jets. You can get most people to agree to those three. Who's good?
Yeah, that's a great question right now. And this is the kind of year that I think a lot of – this might be the kind of year where you went, wow, that team won the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's crazy. This New England Patriot team is starting to look more and more like a team that could win this year's Super Bowl against what even the good teams are showing inconsistencies. And the middle of the pack teams, those one or two game over 500 teams, have shown those inconsistencies all year. So now it's really showing its face. Hey, even though they just lost to the Broncos after yesterday, the Dallas Cowboys, this could be a year they could punch through and win a Super
44
Bowl.
44 points.
Right now, the Chiefs are right back in. When everybody wrote off the Chiefs 3 weeks ago, they are right back into going, look, man, if anybody can win the Super Bowl, we sure can. I mean, it's a weird kind of anybody can win the Super Bowl who you might not see coming from somewhere when we all think, oh, it's either Tom Brady or, you know, the way the Cardinals started or Aaron Rodgers. I don't know, man. And now, like you said, who knows, out of these wild cards that sneak in, might be playing good late in the NFC or in the AFC. It's crazy.
Because even if you go, this team is good, that team has a loss on their record, you go, how did that happen?
Right.
Every team does. Every single team does. And so the idea that we buried Kansas City, they're now back in first place. And there was a first place race between Chargers and the Broncos. They're both now in the basement of the division. The Raiders look to be, I don't want to say they're in disarray because they've had so many awful things happen to their organization over the last 4 weeks, but they look like they're in a difficult spot from a head coaching perspective because they looked outcoached. You talk about somebody looking like outcoached. Last night, they looked like they got massively outcoached.
And you expect, look, Andy Reid's a great coach. I expected that game to be outcoached. And I'll tell you what. The game is the game of inches in a way, and I'm going to tell you, if DeSean Jackson doesn't have a stroke on that catch, whatever he did, and he busts free and scores that touchdown, that game may unfold a little differently going into the closing minutes.
But you can't run the wrong way.
What was that? I mean, it almost
a J.R. Smith moment.
A total J.R. Smith moment is right, Browner. And I feel like that was just one of those things that just the Chiefs had just scored, but man, if he busts free and gets that touchdown, now it's back to another one possession game. And it's not as, you know, the closing. But, boy, they got it back. They went right back down and scored. And all the breath was taken out of the Raiders. So I don't want to write the Raiders off just yet. You know, I think that was just one of those snowballs. And it was like Kansas City puffed their chest out and they knew, hey, man, let's go put – it was the first time this year – Kansas City even had a chance to put their foot on someone's throat, and they went and did it. So credit to them.
I think they deserve all the credit for climbing out of whatever they were in and won and got back to the top of the division race and back into the playoff hunt. Because I really thought that when they were winning really, really ugly, and I mean like really ugly, and people were like, what the hell is wrong with them? They were winning. Like, yeah. I think that's what we kept losing sight of because it wasn't pretty. It wasn't high pace. It wasn't high octane like we had become accustomed to seeing them do. They're still winning the games. And now you look up after all they've been through, and now for a night they put 44 on somebody, and now we're all like, oh, yeah, that's what it looks like. So if you take that performance, and then you throw in what the Baltimore Ravens did on Thursday night, which was just disgusting.
Right.
You add into that what the Steelers did against the Lions. What the hell was that? The league is too unpredictable. It literally is. The Lions should have beat the Steelers. And they also, by the way, should have beat the Ravens. So imagine the type of division you'd be looking at if the Lions had both those teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're right. This thing is crazy. And like I said earlier, like I'm still starting to think other teams like that we don't have on the radar. I mean, the Tennessee Titans could win the Super Bowl. There is just, you know, the Buffalo Bills could win the Super Bowl or New England could win the division and the Bills could be scratching for a wild card spot. It's that crazy right now. But you're right about Baltimore in a way. You know, a few weeks ago, Baltimore was winning really ugly against some bad teams and they were being applauded for it. Oh, we're applauding them for it. And Kansas City Chiefs were winning ugly against, you know, decent teams, bad teams, whatever have you. And they were being massacred for it. And then fast forward to this week. The Ravens go lose to the Dolphins, and the Chiefs go to Las Vegas and play the kind of game they play against a good team with good players on their field on a Sunday night. So it's crazy how that just turns on a dime, and this season is just – it is wild, man.
I think that we haven't – I mean, I would hate to say what we haven't seen of certain things, but what I never thought that I would be in just sheer utter confusion about is who is good. Like, that's something where every year you start the year going, this team, this team, this team. there's going to always be in gray spots where you go, oh, this coming. Oh, I see this coming. I didn't see this. I didn't see any of this coming. Like, without Kyler Murray, the Cardinals look like they should have the first pick in the draft. In the second half of this, in the second half of Browner and Lawhead here on the Mighty 1090, John Browner and Jason Lawhead, thank you guys for joining. We're going to talk about Russell Wilson. We're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. We're going to get to those people. But I want to stick with what we're going, the ups and downs of what we're going with here. I can't tell you how often when I see a game to Tom Brady, I want to go, finally, it's coming to an end. But he does this too now. He does this too, like twice a year. He looks terrible. They look terrible. Now, it's usually not after a bye week. That's the part about it. I was like, whoa, they came off a bye week and got smoked pretty much in the first half of that game. And I think they just kind of more or less ran out of time in the second half. But I really thought that they put up a stinker as well, and it just continues to drive home the point. This is a week-to-week league, and the difference between good and bad sometimes is a missed field goal.
Sometimes. You know, Brady is an interesting – I think, you know, the formula right there is just, you know, rush him early and often and make him get rid of that ball faster than he wants. He's good at getting rid of it fast. But, you know, right. you look last year in the Super Bowl run, that first wild card game against the Redskins was their toughest game. The Redskins put a pass rush on him, and they were able to stuff up the run a little bit, and their defense had to come back and win that football game like it did a lot of times even in Green Bay when Brady threw three picks in the second half of that Green Bay NFC title game. And they got away with winning that football game because of that goal line stance, and they got the one big turnover on downs. So there's formulas, but, yeah, it's a week-to-week league. We keep seeing it more and more, and I'm loving it. I mean, even as a Browns fan and being disappointed at sometimes during the year, hopefully we can get Chubb back, and we're going to need him. There's no way we can do anything without Nick Chubb. That's obvious.
If you are like me and your team is sitting at 3-whatever, you're in the NFC, you're looking up, the 7th playoff spot is 4 wins. You got right? 3. You got a chance.
Right.
This is the season where, and you nailed it, the hot team will win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Hey,
we might be here 4 weeks from now going, are you kidding me what Cam Newton's doing right now and where the Panthers are? I mean, he came in with a great attitude. He's still a hell of an athlete. He got McCaffrey with him. They've got some games they can win on that schedule. And all of a sudden, they might be going in as a hot wild card with a guy that's been deep and played in a Super Bowl before. Who knows?
I said that they have a shot at winning that division on Kaplan and crew, and they laughed at me. They literally laughed at me. And I said, here's the deal, dude. Brady's Brady. But sure, the momentum and the energy from the season is wildly unpredictable. It just is. If I told you to start the season, the 49ers are going to be terrible. The Seahawks are going to be terrible. You would have laughed and said, you don't know anything. But I also said the Rams were coming last place. But take that for what it's worth. If I told you, after week 10, the Titans would have the best record in football.
Without Derrick Henry, last 3 games.
Right, right. You would go, Derrick Henry must be killing. And I said to you, he hadn't played in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'd be like, pass me what you're smoking.
Right. That's yes. 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 And so I think this creates great. This is great for the NFL fan base because every team feels like they have a shot. And I love it when it's like this because, again, at 3 wins with a rookie quarterback who seems to get better every week as a Chicago Bear fan, it's insane for me to go, I'm just looking at 7th playoff spot going, I think we can get that. I absolutely think we can get that because the person ahead of us has got 4 wins, and that was the Minnesota Vikings, and Kirk Cousins is a chokeaholic, brother. He will give it up. He will give it up. And so I feel like there's so many different ways that if you're an NFL fan, as bad as it may look, there are three teams you might as well pack your stuff and go on somewhere. Those three teams are the Texans, the Lions, and Jacksonville. I throw the Jets in there too. Those four teams, we know y'all out. Y'all looking at college picks at this point. Good luck with that. But everybody else, you got a chance.
But there, you know, the crazy thing is any one of those teams, most of those teams, the Lions just showed it. Jaguars have showed it. Some of these teams can really be a spoiler at some time in week 15 or 16. I mean, that's the thing with these teams. I mean, it's ludicrous. So that last 3 weeks of the season, trying to get that number one seed and those wild cards is going to be a circus in the NFL.
Full scale spoiler alert. We'll talk about somebody who may have been spoiled on another level when we come back. Brown and Lawhead. Welcome back to Return. Brown and Law had me return. We went to break. We came back. Every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you can find the best, I don't know, the most fun you'll have in an hour on Red, because it got faster. You got to pick fast. You move the bullet. We are a bullet in the matrix. At least you can dodge it if you want to miss a topic. I'm John Browner. I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Lawhead. Hilarious comedian who spent his downtown his weekend going downtown surveying new clubs.
Yeah, man, it was fun. And then tomorrow, I'll be off tomorrow. I'm going to be flying into Reno, so you're going to be rolling the show solo tomorrow. I'm going to be heading into Reno to do a week at the Laugh Factory at the Silver Legacy, so I'm looking forward to that, doing a week and then heading off to Vegas. But I'll be via satellite from the hotel room on Wednesday, so we'll be back in style.
Aaron Rodgers is doing satellite. I don't know why you can't.
Yeah,
right. If it's good for him, it's good enough for you.
He's milking this one, and not to pardon the pun, because he's they're cheeseheads up there in Wisconsin, but he's milking this one now, isn't he?
I can't think of a guy I didn't like to begin this, and I like him way less. I like him way less, man. That performance that he put together was ugly. It really was ugly. It was uglier than Russell Wilson's. I don't know. There's two things that are happening with these two teams. I think the dynamic between the separation is astounding. Russell didn't want to be in Seattle. He wanted to get a trade because he wanted more offense. Aaron Rodgers didn't want to be in Green Bay because he's a whiny baby, and he felt like they didn't communicate with him some moves, and so he wanted to kick up some dust. Wanted a trade. Both of them wanted trades. Both of them ended up right back where they began. Both of them missed the previous week, one to illness, one to injury. They both came back, one off illness, one off injury, and they both looked terrible. And I mean absolutely terrible. And I'm going to start with the Seahawks side of this. If you are one of the people that are saying fire Pete Carroll today, you are cruising for bruising. Pete Carroll won double-digit games last year. Bill Belichick struggled last year. Great coaches, for whatever reason, they struggle in an unpredictable year. Some great teams will struggle. That's what's happening with the Seahawks. And so this man is taking you to multiple Super Bowls, took you to the playoffs 3 years in a row. Now you want to get rid of him? Because what? Russell Wilson's unhappy? Russell Wilson is now throwing more than he's ever thrown this year, before the injury and now post-injury. Yesterday, he threw way too much, in my opinion, for a guy coming off a finger injury. Where'd they get you? Where'd he get you? They weren't setting the world on fire before he got hurt. And last night, clearly he needed another week to prepare before he ran out there with that finger and with 15-degree temperature.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't run the ball yesterday. You'd think they didn't, even in a game. Again, you'd want to establish the run and at least try to, limit your quarterback and put him in successful throwing situations. And it does. I mean, if there's anything to be guilty of Pete Carroll, it was probably rolling Russell out too soon and calling that kind of a game plan against the Packer defense. You know, I'm not for just, you know, firing coaches, especially coaches that have had success. And like I said, last year, double-digit wins. He out-coached a lot of coaches late in the game to win some of those games they shouldn't have won.
Right.
You know, so this is just one of those years. Like you said, I you know, there's sometimes some of those years where great coaches, even with some talent, you know, they're in a tough division this year, tougher than normal, especially, you know, top heavy with the two teams at the top of it. And, you know, they've got a Rams team going out and getting every guy there that's available right now.
You and me, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, Seahawks fans have to settle down. I think what yesterday showed was truly that the MVP of this Packer team is that defense. And if they're going to win the Super Bowl, it's going to be at the hands of that defense and the way they've been able to play and the way they've been able to take Russell out and be able to take some other teams out. I mean, obviously they went into Kansas City and lost without Rodgers, but they held the Chiefs to 13 points. So when you look at other than their opening game, that which was that debacle that they got out of their way, that defense has just gotten solid and more solid and more solid every week. And that probably wasn't the game to bring Wilson back either. 20 degree weather against a defense playing the way they were playing. Just go, you know, get in there and take your L and let Russell come back to a game that's at home with his stadium behind him. Because now they're coming home with, you know, a stadium that's angry about what's been happening and mad at their coach. Right.
Russell Wilson threw the ball 40 times yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
40. That's a recipe for disaster for a guy who has missed four straight weeks and now is playing off a injured finger. So I look, man, I get that people always want an escape goat. And I get that Pete Carroll is now the escape goat because he's 70. He was 69 last year. Y'all didn't seem to have a problem with him double-digit wins. He's 70 years old. He don't operate like a 70-year-old man. Act like a 70-year-old man.
Other than his flip phone. He has a flip phone that came out. Did you see the flip phone?
That's the only thing empty about him. He doesn't know how to work an iPhone, so he just went classic and got a phone. I can respect that. It's probably got those big old button on it, too. How do old people get that phone with the big buttons and the big numbers? That's probably him. I can respect that. Pete Carroll picks when he gets Steve. He picks when he gets to leave. This idea that you're going to now run him out because you are struggling this year, I'm not buying it. I hope the Seahawks aren't buying it, and I hope that they can figure out what to do with Russell Wilson before they try to throw Pete Carroll off the boat. But another thing from that game that I found to be interesting was that Aaron Rodgers stunk too.
Mm-hmm.
And he stunk real bad. Like one of the worst games I've seen him play. And he was – I'm not going to say he was crying after the game, but he was clearly emotional about what had transpired over his 10-day COVID break. And I got to tell you, man, I'm not even going to play the smallest violin for that clown. You brought on every criticism that he faced. It's his fault. He brought the criticism on to himself. So the idea that he felt like he had been marginalized or hunted down or whatever adjective he would like to use to describe what had happened to him. You did this, bro. You did this.
Yeah, I mean, he jaywalked out into traffic, and he's gonna, you know, claim that he's been hit by the car. But he didn't play that great. And like I said, that game yesterday, I mean, it showed that the Packers is the MVP of this team, and no quarterback. I don't feel like there's one quarterback this year that feels like they can really kind of, other than maybe Mahomes, if yesterday was the breakthrough of not turning the ball over anymore and moving forward with the game. Kelce had a breakout game that he's needed bad, and they were able to use some of their other weapons. I just don't feel like there's a quarterback playing that MVP quarterback season we see so many times that you sit there and go, oh, this season this guy's having, they're going. I mean, there's no way. Whereas, like, you know, Brady was having that kind of a season last year. Rodgers had that kind of a season if the Packers were going to do it. Mahomes was having that kind of a season the last couple of years. But a lot of these guys aren't having that. Like, you know, if anybody, if you were to say anybody right now was the quarterback that you looked at other than Mahomes, take Mahomes' game out yesterday. If you were to say, hey, who's the quarterback that really looks like as the weeks has been going on that can take their team to a Super Bowl with what they have around them? It's Mac Jones and Dak Prescott, for God's sakes, in a way, with what, you know, it's crazy to say that. And now Mahomes enters that conversation, I think, but I don't know if Rodgers has even been that great all year as much as the defense has.
You took the specific person I was thinking right out of my mind. Mac Jones. Mac Jones.
He's playing.
We can talk about his limitations all we want. The Patriots aren't talking about his limitations. They're running him out there with what he can do right now. And he's making the plays that he can make right now. This is why when they drafted him, I felt like that's the best place for him to land, because there's nothing flashy about him. He knows what he can and cannot do. He's going to come in, he's going to work hard, and he's going to follow instructions set by Bill Belichick. And he's done that to a T. That I think he would be this prepared at this level, at this point. No, I got to be honest. I didn't. But I thought of all the quarterbacks drafted, he landed in the best spot. And now here we are, week 10. It's appearing to be that he landed in the right spot.
He did. And you know what? You pointed out, or when you opened that little monologue, you said the word limitations. And you said he has his limitations. And he does. But you know his biggest strength? Knowing his limitations and agreeing with them, having his coach know those limitations, both of them agreeing upon those limitations and knowing where they are and how they exist. And, you know, I would go back and DVR yesterday, and there'd be times where, you know, he was in the pocket, 1,000, 2,000, a pocket started breaking up and Miles started getting around attack, 3-3, and his feet stayed steady, and then he hit somebody over the middle. Whereas, you know, my argument against Baker is Baker, you know, wants to ignore some of his limitations. He doesn't want to confront some of his limitations. And even when you see Baker early in the pocket, before it's collapsing, his feet are moving, he's jittery, he's just dancing all over the place. And I really noticed the big difference yesterday in Mac Jones. His feet were steady under him. It was just very, you know, almost Montana-like early in the pocket and late in the pocket, feeling it coming apart. So, yeah, the way he's playing with it, and they're scheming. He's got the defense. He's got to, you know, say what you want about Belichick's son, but week in and week out right now, they are out-scheming teams defensively, yes. Offensively. McDaniel's calling great plays. Bill Belichick, it's like Bill Belichick has his son, and McDaniel's, who's like his, you know, stepson almost, or adopted son.
His hired son.
It's like if the show Succession, if those two kids were competent. It's like the guy at the top of Succession had two kids that were actually, you know, not idiots. So that's how they're running things, man. It's a three-headed monster over there in New England right now. And they've got the quarterback that can just use what he's got around him, defense that can out-scheme you every week, and they're coming for teams.
I also think if I had to choose a quarterback that I would say I'm ready to see where I think this person can take me somewhere. I thought it was Kyler Murray injury. Honestly, I still think it's Kyler Murray after injury, yeah, but if I had to choose, those are my two guys I'm choosing. I'm choosing Mac Jones because he's following the script, mm-hmm. and I'm taking Kyler Murray because I know his letdown games, he still finds a way to win, and I can't say the same thing about Lamar Jackson. I can't say the same thing about Josh Allen. At this point, I cannot say the same thing about Matthew Stafford because he had a bad game the last game they got beat by Tennessee. So I feel like that these teams, if their quarterback isn't playing high-level football, they don't win.
Right.
They don't win.
I forgot to mention Murray. You're right about Murray coming after this injury. We'll see how he is. And mm-hmm. you're right. He's the other guy, I think. And we saw where you can't count on Jackson. You can't, you know, right now with the team that, you know, the Browns are, you can't really count on Baker to be the guy.
Right.
Burrow doesn't have enough around him, and I still think he's a couple years away to be that guy that is going to, if he's going to be a Super Bowl quarterback, to take you there. But, yeah, right now there's probably those three or maybe four with Mahomes entering the conversation as quarterbacks that you feel like we got him, we got as good a chance as anybody to win it all playing at that level. Brady's still Brady. You know, he shows up in January healthy with a mission, and guys around right. him are healthy. I, you know, don't bet against him.
I think the last two things we'll cover here, we got about 7 minutes left. I think that we are – I'm not one of the people who jumped out and said, oh, Justin Herbert's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I was saying that before the season started. The fact that everybody was riding the line with me up until 3 weeks ago shows you how the league has – the Chargers have dropped three games in a row, and he hasn't been good. I think this is a – and I think this is also a case of the league – really getting a feel for what Staley wants to do, and now it's his turn to respond. Because as bad as they've played these last three games, they were in all three games, and two, they still have a chance to win the division because they've already beaten Kansas City in Kansas City. And we saw Kansas City last night. Well, another thing that was relevant is they still had some of those mistakes where you go, what is he doing? Or what is they – oh, just deal. It was still there. Offensively, they were just able to overcome it. So. The Chargers dropping the game to the Vikings didn't really make me feel like the Chargers are now done and over with. They can't compete in the division because AC's back on top. I just felt like now it's a real race.
Yeah, and, you know, like we talked about not just last week, but the week before, like this Viking team, it was just a matter of time. Yep. So they were going to put together to beat a good team and show that they have that ability to do that. I'm not down on the Chargers just yet. Good teams go through little lulls, and you're right. Staley is in his first year, and we're going to see if he can figure it out, right? Can he have a Stefanski like first year when yes. there was a few times in the middle of the season, they got smacked in the mouth by some teams, and then he did adjust and he did get his team right again to get him into the playoffs. I think obviously teams are going to figure out certain tendencies. And I think still the Chargers, the big, big game coming up, and this is going to be whether they're a playoff team and or a division winner, is they've got to beat Kansas City at home. They've got to be able to not just sit back and say, we beat them on the road. I think that's the big game on the calendar. That's the make or break Charger game. Gonna say, you know, they can't even lose a moral victory in that game. They've got to be able to go and then beat them twice and say, what, we beat you twice. And it is hard to beat a team a third time if we see them in the playoffs, but that's how they're gonna win this division if they win this division.
I think there are two teams that are probably don't have to look in their rearview mirror in their division: the Green Bay Packers and right. I think the Tennessee Titans. I don't think those two teams have to look in their rearview mirror. They can focus forward on what's happening with them going forward in the playoffs. Every other team, every other division has to look in the rearview mirror about what this guy did. And that's including the Cardinals because of the Rams. Yep. That's now, by the way, including the Bucks because of what's happening with what I think is about to happen with Cam. Mm-hmm. The Patriots are on that. They're a half game behind the Bills. Who thought that at 2-3 weeks ago? And the Chargers, and it looks like the Chargers, and I'll give you credit to keep the Raiders alive in that. That seems to be a three-horse race. So,
and AFC North is all 14. You got
you might need three. You might need to get in circle of fire squad that thing because there's no telling who's gonna win that division,
right?
And by the way, the tie, as stinky as it is, the tie may actually help the Steelers in the end. And that makes me so mad about ties in the NFL, I can't stand them. I can't stand them. If the Steelers win that division because they tied with the Lions, that's not a good thing for football.
Yeah, I mean, of course, if anything, if a tie is going to help somebody, it's obviously going to help the Steelers. Why would it? You know, that's shocker. My bane of my sports existence.
Shocker.
We tied them a few years ago. I think that first year Baker came into the lineup, we went 7-8-1, and they went 8-7-1, and that got them into the playoffs. I believe that tie year, we tied them early when Tyrod was the quarterback in the opening game. Yeah, but to your point is you're right. I think other than the Titans and the Packers, and hey, who knows, you know, I mean, if the Vikings stay hot and the Packers trip up a game or two, they could easily, with that 17th extra game, you know, sometime, they could be in the rearview mirror by the late season. I still think that the Packers defense, that they are going to be able to impose themselves and run away with that division, no matter how well the Vikings play and how much they scrap for a wild card. But
I know Monday Night Football is happening right now, right. But what are you expecting to see tonight from the Rams with the addition of Odell Beckham after losing Robert Woods to an ACL tear?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't know much about the offense and you know, snap counts and all them little things.
You think that's important from a wide receiver perspective? Because the tree is still the same. The verbiage is different, but the route tree is still the same.
Right. Yeah, I think they're gonna really try to go to him. I think they're gonna try to get him off early, because now you've got him out for the year. I mean, that's a season-ending injury. So this isn't just hey, let's see if Odell can experiment at Odell in some of the, you know, third downs right away. I mean, they kind of need him kind of right out of the gate to really adjust and contribute sooner than later, now especially. So I think you're going to see them go to him tonight. I think maybe you might even see some stuff where it's like, hey, well, let's make it easy on you. We're going to run you on a double reverse here or there and get the ball in your hands in some open space and let you create some things that you've been successful at. You know, Odell can throw the football. Hey, why not? You know what? If we've got on their heels 17-0, let's pitch one to Odell, let him throw it down the field. Who knows? So there's ways you can use Odell outside of just, you know, running the routes that are usually for the other guys that have been in the offense and in the playbook. So they've got a chance to go, you know, possibly the same 49er team that they thought they were going to be when they started the year. Try to probably do a few things that Tennessee did to this team early, at least at the line of scrimmage, and see if that's successful. So, I mean, I like the Rams in this game. I don't know how.
Well, I'm going to go watch, and we'll find out. Brandon Lawhead, we'll talk about it tomorrow, and we got some NBA coming up tomorrow too. Peace.